All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by The Nation Network. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome in. Thank you very much, Lisa. As Bagged Milk would usually say, this is episode 131 of Oilers Nation Radio. I'm hosting today because I make the rules. I'm joined by Nation Dan Rick and, of course, Bagged Milk himself. As always, Oilers Nation Radio is brought to you by Sherwood Ford, the Giant. Check them out in Sherwood Park. Get your vehicle. I'll get the winter stuff out of there. We're looking at spring now. What did we say? We said winterize your vehicle. Is it springerize your vehicle now? Is that something?
Springerize your vehicle. Why not?
Springerize your vehicle with Sherwood Ford.
Jerry.
All right, let's dig right into the Sherwood Ford Giant question, you guys, because we have a lot to get to. Trade deadline. We're going to have one more podcast before the trade deadline, but that one will be like literally days before the deadline. So let's do a nice little trade deadline preview for our Edmonton Oilers. We've heard them connected to Luke Glendening. We've also had Ken Holland say he doesn't want to add depth pieces. He only wants to make significant additions, but we know the Oilers don't have cap space or they don't have assets to do that. We've also heard them connected to like Jamie Oleksiak. So there's a lot going on around the Oilers. I don't know what to believe, but today's Sherwood Ford Giant question is this. If you could add one thing to the Oilers at this year's deadline, what would you add? Bagged Milk, I'll start with you.
Well, I mean, the ideal scenario, obviously, to me, is a scoring left winger for the second line. Say Dave Tippett wants to roll with Draisaitl and McDavid together, as he did a little bit last week. That leaves Nuge with a line that just doesn't work all that well. I mean, he and Yamamoto are fine. Honestly, I would have preferred they flip Puljujärvi and Yamamoto, but he and Yamamoto were fine. But on the other side, Dominic Cahoon, I just don't think he's a top six forward. There's nothing wrong with that either. I just don't think he's a good fit there. So if they had somebody there that could score, that would be the ideal add. But like you said, I don't think they have the assets for it. I don't think that they have the cap space for it. And right now they're dealing also with trying to sign some veterans that will need some new deals. How much room is Tyson Barrie going to take next year? Do they sign him? What about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins? We're getting to the point with both of those guys where it's shit or get off the pot time. And the Oilers are going to be in a real problem here. Could you imagine if we get to the trade deadline, they pass it, Nuge and Barrie aren't signed yet by any means, and then they go to free agency and lose one or both of those guys and walk away from. So to me, yeah, trading for pieces is important. But the bigger picture here for the Edmonton Oilers is some of the UFAs on their team that need new deals. So trade's great. but probably housekeeping first.
Fair enough. Rick, what do you think? Biggest one move you'd make at the deadline?
I think I got to go towards the I'm going to go the other end of the ice. I'm going to go with that number one goaltender. I know there's okay. been what Mike Smith has done this year has been pretty much phenomenal. But you're almost surprised after every game. You don't really walk into those games feeling confident. You know, we've seen what he can do, but we also seen what happens when he has off games. So I'd just like to have that goaltender, that number one guy that, you know, he keeps that puck out of the net mm-hmm. more often than not. Cause you know, when it comes to Smith and it comes to Mikko, it's a bit of a crapshoot. And I just like a little more consistency in that.
Dan?
I think Jason Strudwick actually turned my brain a little bit last week when he was talking about this and how this team is not necessarily built to win a Stanley Cup. I think that they can make noise in the playoffs, and I think that any team can win a cup on any given day. But I don't think that this team is like one transaction away from being a Stanley Cup contender. So for me, I honestly wouldn't mind seeing Ken Holland even go out and do a move where he sends out somebody of value from our depth pieces, you know, whether it's a Tyler Ennis or a Chase.
What value though?
I know. And that's the thing. You got to see what the value is there, but maybe he restocks the cupboard with a little bit of draft picks there and then goes out and gets another depth piece in return for lesser price. I don't know. Like I think that that's the only kind of like ticky tacky moves that we're going to see this year. And I'm okay with that because I don't think that this team is like one piece away from being the Tampa Bay Vegas Golden Knights level of team. I do believe that on any given night, we could beat those teams as the team we are right now. And so I don't know if you necessarily want to go out and pay a big price for the players that Bag Milk and Rick are both right. We could use both of those kinds of players on our team. I just don't know if we're really, really willing to pay that price right now.
I just don't think they have the assets. I just don't think they could. Yeah. I don't think, like, what are you going to do?
We do have the assets.
A fourth in terms of
we have the traffic. Assets. You just don't want to spend them.
Well,
like you got the Holloways, you got the Lavois. I don't know what Lavois' value is going to be, but you've got some guys out there. You've got the Brobergs of the world. You do have some assets. You're just not willing to spend those. And that's fair. And I wouldn't spend them either. So I'm just saying, yeah, we do have the assets. It's just like they're overpriced assets. We don't have the right value assets.
Well, you do have to keep the future in mind a bit, right? Like they don't have a second or third round pick this year. We're like, you know, in a usual year, yeah, I'd be like, you know what, give up one of those. But you kind of burnt them all last year, which is tough. And in a cap system, especially with the cap staying flat, like Dylan Holloway is just too important. If he can be a top nine forward for you next year, as much as I love Rickard Rakell, I'm not including Dylan Holloway in a deal for Rickard Rakell because I'm hoping Holloway can be that guy, but cheaper in a year or two, right? So if I could add one thing, I would almost look at maybe a depth forward. I still look at the center ice position. Kyle Turris has really been struggling. I don't think he's a centerman at the NHL level anymore. Gaetan Haas, Jujhar Khaira, they're good. But what if one of those guys were to go down? Who are you elevating in there? I would go get an insurance policy. I think you can play Gaetan Haas on the wing. I would go look at the Glenn Dennings, the Brandon Sutters. They are not sexy names. Even Derek Ryan down in Calgary would interest me if you could make the money work. I'd be looking at one of those guys. I'd be dangling a draft pick in next year's draft, and I'd probably even up the price a little bit if the team was willing to take back Kyle Turris in the deal to get money off the books next year. So I'd be looking at sort of a depth centerman, someone who can win draws, someone who can kill penalties, and just give you a bit of an insurance policy, because I agree with you, Dan. This team is probably not one move away from being an Elite Cup contender, but where I'll disagree with you is you don't sell off right now or don't do anything like that because the path to the Final Four this year is easier for the Oilers than it's ever been. You don't need to get through Vegas. There's no chance of having to play a team like Colorado. You can beat Winnipeg. You can beat Toronto. You can beat Montreal. You can honestly beat those teams in a best of seven series, and it's not that much of a stretch. Like Rick said, no one's going to fall off their chair if the Oilers beat the Leafs or the Jets in a seven-game series. So your path to that Final Four is so easy that I think you'd be doing a disservice to Connor McDavid, not tinkering a bit and not doing something just to give him a little boost, even just to show this core group of guys, like if you're Ken Holland, hey, I believe in you guys. Here's a little bit of help. Go get the job done. I just think the opportunity is too good this year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess for me, it's like, you know, transaction wise, you know, we're having to move guys up and down that really shouldn't have to move up and down. You know, Tyler Ennis was a scary thing to have to possibly lose yesterday, just in the sense of you're losing an asset for nothing. So for me, I think we need to have three goalies going forward, unless, like Rick said, we go out and get that number one goalie. I think that Stalock is going to have a position on this team, and he's going to play some meaningful games going down the stretch. And hopefully we have a three-headed goalie monster that can kind of help us, as opposed to the previous iteration of it. But I guess, like I was saying, if I'm going to make a move, it's going to be to try and recoup some of those assets and give you some pieces to work with in the future. But that would be the only thing I would do, because I just don't think we need to go out and spend a bunch to get those little final pieces of the puzzle.
I'm just not sure who they have that like a team would be interested in. Like, I think
Chiasson.
He'd clear waivers. I still think I don't think there's a team out there who looks at him at $2 million and is like, that's a guy who's going to help our team win. I feel like every team, if you don't have your own Alex Chiasson already, you can go on the wire and be patient and pluck a different team's Alex Chiasson.
One name that came up today on Dropping the Gloves, and I was curious to hear what your guys' thoughts of it is, and he didn't really mention it. John Scott didn't really mention it as an Oilers option, but is Patrick Marleau. No. So there's a story there, though, because he's about to eclipse Gordie Howe's record. He has never had a Stanley Cup in his possession.
I
don't think he fits on this team because of his slow style, but it was an interesting thought for a third line, fourth line center.
Patrick Marleau hasn't been an NHL level player in 2 years, in my opinion. He's hanging around right now because the Sharks are doing him a solid. I know there's a little bit of talk about it, but there's not a single contender, I don't think, who's seriously interested in bringing in Patrick Marleau. He's just done, man. He's just... You mentioned his slow style. That's not a style. That's just, he can't skate anymore. You could offer me a seventh round pick for Patrick Marleau and I would shake.
But that's a guy. That's a guy that comes into this team and helps them like emotionally get ready for a playoff run. I don't know. That's just
never
like
won.
That's a veteran guy. I know, but he's not, he's certain, like you don't play as many games as Gordie Howe played and not have that, you know, that pedigree to be able to get a team fired up and get the guys going.
If this was 10 years ago, fuck yeah.
Yeah. If this was 4 years ago, I'd be like, sure.
To me, I don't feel the need to buy a VCR at this point.
Hey,
They still work. You can still watch Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze on it. But I don't think I need a VCR.
Yeah, there's no point in bringing a guy like that over.
I'd rather play Patrick Russell, I think. But I get it. Like you want to bring in some like good veteran leadership and all that. But I'm also kind of a believer in like, you know, what's a good way to get good veteran leadership is to have your players win and to go on runs, right? Like make your own group, find your own veteran leaders. I think
where I like what Dan's saying here is I like the idea of bringing in a veteran.
Really?
I really, really do. I just don't think Patrick Marleau's that guy.
Is there anyone you would bring in then?
Yeah.
Yager's still playing somewhere. I think if we're going to do it, we should probably do one of the best scorers of all time. He's got cup rings too. So, you know, it just makes sense.
I'm looking right now at Frank Saravalli's trade bait board and there's not even anyone on there really aside from like the centerman, like Glenn Denning, that like really jumps off the page to me. Like, will a team do anything for a fourth rounder next year or a third rounder next year? I'm not sure. Like, there's a lot of people who floated out Bobby Ryan. Everyone seems to be like, oh, Bobby Ryan could jump in here and score. And like, it's, to me, that's almost the same thing as the Marleau thing, where it's like a couple of years ago, I'd be like, yeah, Bobby Ryan, bring him in, see what he can do, make the money work. But Bobby Ryan is just a guy to me who's like doing good because he's on a bad team. Like, I don't think Bobby Ryan steps up in here. And I feel like at trade deadline too, a lot of people get the grass is always greener thing where like, oh, this player can step in and like help us out, when
especially in this city.
And like, is Bobby Ryan, do you really think Bobby Ryan's that much of an upgrade on Dominic Cahoon or Tyler Ennis? I'm not sold on that. I think if you put Tyler Ennis on Detroit, gave him power play 1 minute and let him play a couple shifts with Larkin, I think Tyler Ennis probably has a few goals this year. But like Bobby Ryan coming in here, slow boots. Yeah, maybe he can shoot, but like, I just don't see the need to go pick up a fringe piece unless it's a centerman who can win you draws and kill penalties.
Jared Smithson.
Make sure their wives aren't pregnant, right? Isn't that the lesson we learned with Jared Smithson? Make sure he's like ready to jump into the lineup and doesn't need to like stay somewhere.
I don't remember, man. Bring back oil change, though, according to Zach Lang.
That's interesting. I heard some rumblings about that, and I didn't have this written down as a topic, but if the Oilers launched a service that was like $4.99 a month and you got some like inside looks at the team, you got exclusive interviews, would any of you guys be interested in that? Like basically The Athletic, yes, but only for the Oilers. Rick, you're all in on that?
Yep.
Oh yeah, $5, I'd take it.
here's the thing that I would say, though. I'm completely down with paying $5 a month for something like that, but it can't just be the same boring bullshit they put out.
It has to be an absolute propaganda film. Yeah.
They've been a lot better with their social media lately.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But if I'm going to pay for it, I want actual premium service. I want actual interviews with players that talk about their lives. I briefly mentioned Ryan Nugent-Hopkins before. Right now, he's a guy that maybe, I hope he signs. Maybe he doesn't. Who fuck knows? But he has now been on this team since 2011. Outside of he likes horses, outside of some basic info, what do you know about him? Nothing.
Yep.
Nothing. I want to know more about the players. They've all got good stories. You don't make the NHL by winning a scratch ticket.
And doesn't he have a family member that works at a liquor store in Red Deer or something like that?
Confirmed.
Yeah, Dan figured that out himself.
Dan confirmed that. I did walk around Red Deer asking, do you know Ryan Nugent-Hopkins?
So Dan's hitting the streets. Why can't the Oilers, especially if they want us to pay $5 a month for it?
Again, well, that's exactly it, Begmoke.
They've done a really good job throughout, you know, for years and years and years doing that type of thing. I think
I wouldn't say really good.
No, I would argue with that. I would say even oil change wasn't that great, like in the sense that it didn't give you behind the scenes access, but it didn't even give you much access. Like you saw, we saw the room, we saw like Hall and Eberle's house for, you know, 30 seconds of a clip. And then it was just like locker room training room stuff. I don't know. I agree with Bag Milk. I think that if you're going to do that, like the world that we live in now, we're given 100% access. Last Chance U, I know everything about those kids.
Yeah, Last Chance U is great.
You know, QB1, same thing. You know, Hard Knocks, that's another good one by HBO, where you get full 24-hour, 7 days a week access to these players.
So maybe have a third company come in, so you're not...
You're
not just being a little bit too nice to yourself or whatever. You have a third company come in and kind of be a little more down the middle.
If you look at the HBO series that they did with the NHL 24/7, that was infinitely better than oil change. So... Mm-hmm.
Was it around the same time? Do you think that maybe one led to the other?
Perhaps. I have no idea. But like, I just know that if I'm going to pay for it, I want something better than what they gave the first time.
From the outside looking in, it looked like to me that the Oilers just didn't give the access that the other TV shows get. You know, Hard Knocks had access. HBO had access for 24/7 filming. And they got stuff that you know, arguably tore apart Brizgalov's career, but that was good television. That was good watching, and it was exciting to watch. And for some people, it endeared themselves, like myself, endeared themselves to Brizgalov more. But that's the kind of stuff you need. You can't just get the same, you know, come to the rink and work hard every day kind of nonsense.
Yeah, that's what you're getting, though, if the Oilers do it themselves and are paying, if you're paying $4.99 a month to the Edmonton Oilers and their production crews are doing it, I just have a hard time believing it's going to be like this crazy, insightful stuff. I think it'll be a lot of propaganda. Yeah.
This has nothing to do with anything, but what is Brizgalov doing now? Why is this guy not in the media of some kind? Because he was hilarious.
He was
so funny.
So it's funny you said that, because I reached out to him to try and get him on this podcast, because I started watching some of his old stuff, and he was hired by the league as a correspondent to, or not the league, sorry, the NHL Network. And he went in and he just did like those media day scrums at the All-Star game. And then he did one of the Stanley Cup finals, and it's such gold. You have to go and watch it on YouTube, and we have to get him on this podcast, because I literally couldn't tell you what that episode would be about. we would talk a little bit of his time in Edmonton, and then what else he would bring up, I don't know. But I would love to see it with the four of us, or even real life. But yeah, I was trying to get him on the episode because he's such good television.
How many times did we say, why you have to be mad?
Yeah.
Or whatever, like, or just his, I'm afraid of bears in the woods. The whole thing, like, he was just the best. I love that guy.
You get the death penalty if you kill a tiger in Russia.
Speaking of the best, how about our friends at Skip the Dishes? I had Skip the Dishes the other day.
Because the Dishes last night.
It was National Burrito Day, so I had two burritos. They were fantastic, and Skip the Dishes was fantastic, making sure they got here in a very timely manner. As a good Ukrainian boy, I love a good deal, and I like when you can go on Skip the Dishes and see the little savings everywhere. It also helps me. I'm rather indecisive, so like it helps me make up my mind what I want to eat when I see like, oh, free delivery over $20 here, or like, oh, this place has like 20% off in the next hour. It's very good stuff. Check them
out. How many cards did you fill out, then delete, and then go to another one and start filling out that menu and then delete that? I do that on numerous times.
I did that last night because what I did last night is I ordered a lot of Chinese food. Like I thought yesterday was Friday for some reason. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to order some stuff through the weekend. And then it got here. I'm like, oh shit, it's Thursday. I had Kung Pao chicken, beef broccoli, a chop suey, fried rice, beef broccoli. I had like Shanghai noodles. I had deep fried wonton. Like I put in a shift, and I'm very proud of myself. And I didn't have
to. You should be.
Skipthedishes.ca. Thank you.
Yes. Shout out to Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes is great. What's not great is the amount of COVID positives we're having in the North Division right now.
Boo. And
I think this can just be like unanimously our podcast's cold performer of the week when we get to that point. But Pierre LeBrun is reporting that there's already six positives on the Canucks roster, and there's fear that there could be more. So what this means is, A, the Canucks have to get everyone quarantined. They're going to have to shut down. Like, obviously, priority here is health. But, like, if we're just going to skip ahead and go right to the hockey stuff, they're probably going to have to be shut down for 2 weeks now. So, obviously, the Oilers aren't playing the Vancouver Canucks on Saturday night. And you know what? They're probably not playing them on April 12th or 14th either. What's happened over the last like 10 days here, however long it's been since the Canadians had to get shut down, it almost shows me, man, we got real lucky for like 3 months of the season. Hey, the fact that these are the first shutdowns we're getting in this Canadian division for a while, we tricked ourselves almost into thinking like, oh, we're up in Canada. Like we have it under control. Like there's a reason the North Division doesn't have any, but now I'm sitting here going, no, we just got lucky, man.
Yep. Has anyone had it as big as Vancouver right now?
Dallas, right?
Montreal had two players.
Yeah. But Vancouver,
and I think only one actually was positive.
Yeah, we don't know for sure, but still, like, two players, like, if you don't get ahead of it, like we just saw in Vancouver, it can get worse. So, like, there was a shutdown in Montreal. There was one in Vancouver, south of the border. Like, Buffalo got hit hard. New Jersey, I think, got hit hard. Dallas
got hit hard. With this many players at once?
Stars did, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know. They're very vague in their details, too, right? And that's out of respect for the players' privacy as well. But yeah, I mean, you know, like, Tyler, you're a baseball guy. You saw this with the season last year. And of course that was at the start of the second wave, as opposed to, you know, being in the middle of the second wave, as it were, when we started this season. So yeah, 100%. We were lucky to get to this point. It's super frustrating how it keeps affecting the Oilers without directly affecting the Oilers, just scheduling wise. But I mean, again, you can't be upset at the fact that they're using an abundance of caution, trying to stop the spread amongst teams versus just keeping it within one team and trying to stop that as well. So yeah, it's the right decision. It just sucks.
I wonder if we're going to get all teams playing 56 now. This is the first time I'm sitting here going, we might need to go by points percentage here, because look at the playoff race in this division. It's pretty much settled up. Unless Calgary sweeps Edmonton in the remaining four games in that season set, they're dead. Vancouver's not coming back. They're not fooling anyone. Montreal is 6 points up on each of them, and they have four games in hand on them. I just think we're sitting here now, and I think there's going to become a point where the NHL just goes, listen, Calgary and Vancouver are done. These four teams are making the playoffs. We're not screwing around. We're not risking anything going into the playoffs. Vancouver, this is too bad. Your games are getting wiped out. And I think that's where we're going to eventually get.
I'm looking at the schedule right now. So obviously tomorrow's game postponed. Then Montreal, two against Ottawa next week. So a three game week next week. And then there's those two games against Vancouver. I don't know what Vancouver's schedule looked like, but are they going to try and reschedule whoever was supposed to play the Canucks to, like, are we going to get a battle of Alberta next week when we shouldn't have? I don't know what the schedules look like, but eventually they're going to run out of time to make these games up. So I think you're right, Tyler. I just can't see how this season ends, because they didn't give themselves a bunch of time on the back end to make these up. It's not like there's a spare month there or something.
No, there's a week.
There's not a week.
There's a week.
No, there was never a, they have bumped it to the 11th of May and they have no more days. That is the last day they had scheduled in the regular season. They had a couple days, but they didn't have a full week.
So that's a problem, obviously. So I think points percentage is going to be the only way to get it sorted.
They want to start the playoffs on like May 13th or 14th. And they think they're still going to do that. And they haven't deviated from that plan.
Well, what they need to start doing, and, you know, this, it sounds like it's just serving Oilers, and that's fair. But what they need to start doing is adjusting other team schedules to fix this too. And it's not just the Vancouver Canucks, and it's not just the Montreal Canadiens, it's not just the Edmonton Oilers. But the Oilers have been directly affected by the fact that these two teams have had positive cases, and the Oilers requested, you know, or we, you know, we've heard that they've pushed for, you know, adjustments to the schedule to be made to kind of accommodate them and try and fit some of these games in. Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, that these things, they have to start making changes, because those two games on the 12th and 14th, we're going to be sitting for 5-6 days game in there. Like, that's crazy.
Well, looking at Vancouver's schedule right now, Vancouver next week was supposed to play Winnipeg twice and Calgary twice. And then after that is the two games against Edmonton. So that next week, those two games against Winnipeg are already postponed. So would it make sense to try and move things around a little bit? Like, they got two against Calgary in there. Those teams aren't going to want to just sit there with a week off either. So.
But then you also potentially run into an issue, like, what happens if they say, okay, Edmonton, Vancouver, we're putting it onto the end of this and onto the end of the schedule. And like, sure, Vancouver's like, yeah, we want to get our games in. But if you're Edmonton and you're locked up in a playoff spot, why would you agree to be like, sure, we'll play 8 games in our final 12 days of the season or whatever, just to make the schedule? Like, I'm sitting there at that point, I'm going, I'm healthy scratching McDavid and Draisaitl for most of those games. I'm letting them rest. I'm not overworking my star players because Vancouver had COVID issues. Like, Oilers need to look out for their own playoff chances or their own state heading into the playoffs. And like, you can't be just like running guys down and tiring them out before the postseason.
How many more battles of Alberta are there? Because I'm looking at the Flames schedule. They've got Oilers,
I think,
obviously. Yep. And then they've got
29th in the first
Sunday, Monday against the Leafs. And then after that, with these probable postponement to Vancouver, they would have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They would have like 8 days, 6, 7 days off. Mm-hmm. So could you fit another Battle of Alberta or two in there? I don't know.
But then, because like when you look at Calgary's schedule, when the Oilers would be off from their time against Vancouver, like there almost isn't really a spot to just like slide the Edmonton Oilers in there without making like the Flames play 3 days in a row. So like the Flames play right now on the 13th and 14th. Against Toronto and Montreal, and they're in Toronto and Montreal for those games. So if maybe you could put one on Sunday, April 11th, but then the Flames would be playing 4 games in 5 nights. They're not going to be
too bad.
Give us another Battle of Alberta Saturday night, but that won't happen either.
I don't know what to do here. Like, I don't know what the NHL is going to do apart from just being like, well, like, we're trying to come up with options here as a team, and it's hard. I'm not good enough at puzzles to make this fit.
And that's where that's where, you know, the flip side of the luck that we didn't have it earlier in the season is the bad luck now, because there's less wiggle room. There's less time to move things around. There's less time to make adjustments. And it is, you know, there is the reality that as these continue to happen, they could keep happening in the North Division, and it could be an issue going forward with more teams.
Do you guys think there's a chance? And do you think any team would argue about this? What if the NHL came to the Oilers and said, listen, we know you're supposed to play twice in Montreal again, and then Montreal comes to you guys twice. just play all four in Montreal. Just go there for a week, play them four times, and then you're done. And like your home games are technically at the Bell Center. Would you guys raise a stink about that if it meant finishing the schedule? If it was like, you know what, Edmonton, instead of going to Montreal, then Montreal coming here, you're just going there playing. And then you know what, Toronto or Ottawa's last few games against you, they're all in Edmonton. And they just sort of make like little week-long hubs. Maybe that's the way to do it.
I think they have to make the Canadians come here.
Well, whatever it would be, like, you know what I'm saying? Like if there's compromise everywhere, like, okay, and Edmonton, instead of having Vancouver come to you, you're just going there, playing them four times in a week, you're done. And then like, you just try to cut up the schedule and make it as clean as possible. Almost like an NFL schedule where it's like a Vancouver week, or like week 10, you're playing in Vancouver 4 days, and just like knock out the schedule that way.
I don't know. I think that if they were going to do that, they should have done that at the start of the season. That would have been the move to make. But they tried to make the schedule kind of spread out and even.
Yeah, you want to do it like normal, and then this will be like an emergency type of situation. It'll be interesting to see what they'll have to get. They'll have to get creative. But I mean, that's part of their job. They knew that that's what it was going to be the way coming in, and now it's here. So I guarantee you, they have some plans. Some bit of blueprints out there as to, you know, what they can do if something bad were to happen. Is now you got to wait and pull a trigger on it.
Enough talking about the games that aren't happening. Let's talk about the game that is happening tonight between the Oilers and Flames. Does it take a little bit of buzz out of the Battle of Alberta because the Flames are so bad? Like, would this be way more exciting if the Flames were like 4 points back of the Oilers? Not that I want that, but like, I'm going into this game and I'm like, oh, the Oilers better beat the shit out of the Flames. Like, that's my expectation.
I love to beat Calgary. So either way, it's the same going in, no matter what.
Here's what I think. I think that the game against Montreal, as we all know, was probably one of the roughest to watch all season. And what that means now is Connor McDavid has had 3 days to sit in anger about how that's gone. And that's probably bad news for the Calgary Flames.
I'll tell you this. I think we've seen this a couple times where they've had like a bit of a down game, and then we expect Connor to come out and smack someone the next game. And it's usually a little more of a well-played team type of game. Yeah. And the game next one is when fucking Connor goes crazy. So I can see tonight being like the team just they're just going to play a really solid team game. Probably not get too flashy. Just like get back and make sure play everything simple. And then whatever the game is after that is the one where I'd go, you guys need to keep an eye out because 97 is going to go crazy.
I can't help but go ahead, feel then. Bad for Daryl Sutter and how, you know, this was, really? This is unfinished business. I'm just joking. Okay. No, this has been, you know, it's played out exactly how I think a lot of us thought it would. They got a little bump from Daryl coming back and bag skating them and all that good stuff. Yeah. They had a couple wins
in a row. Three in a row. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a huge win streak for this team this year. So, I just don't think we can look at these games as, you know, and hopefully the team doesn't do that. I look at it as free points, but you just go out and you thrash them again. And again, it starts to make up for some of the other blemishes, like the game against the Canadiens, the previous one. So yeah, you just go get these points. The key is right now, if we do go, you know, going back to our previous conversation, go to point percentage, we are fourth place in the division right now. So we need to get a couple more W's than Montreal does with their Bettman points and be able to make up that ground and not have to face the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round. Just ideally you don't want to face the first place team. That's all.
I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have to play them at some point, right? That's the mentality that you have to have,
if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. Yep. And right now the Leafs are the best in the division. And I would hope, let's just say just for what Dan said, that the Oilers finish in fourth and they play Toronto in the first round. I would hope that's a challenge that makes everybody want to rise up to it. And rather than being like, oh no, Toronto beat us a bunch of times. Fuck that, man. This is the playoffs. This is a different dance, baby. I remember 2006. The Oilers snuck in the second last game of the season and were one game away from winning the Stanley Cup. That shit don't matter in the playoffs, baby.
Shut down the President Trophy winning Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah.
Exactly.
In six, not seven.
I did like the hypothetical that and actually the Oilers, sorry, I just saw they announced some roster moves here. Ennis cleared waivers. He's going to the taxi squad. Stalock's coming up to the main roster.
Oh, Miko. Uh-oh.
I think they actually had to do this because Stalock's healthy. I don't think this is like a
I was just like, oh no.
Well, yeah, because you don't want to. We don't want to continue to do that rope a dope with the goalies that we've done with Forsberg and fucking. Did we have Comrie on our team for a minute? I don't even remember anymore.
Has Anton Forsberg played at all yet this year, despite being a suitcase?
He's in Ottawa though, and they don't think they need to get rid of him.
He's got one game.
Yeah, they ran out of goaltenders. It was him or the guy delivering popcorn.
He was March 25th, at the start of the year.
March 25th, everybody wanted him. He played against the Leafs, and
when he played, he was in full out. All of his gear was Winnipeg colors.
Forsberg's was.
Yeah,
I'm surprised he even had Winnipeg gear.
I love that.
I know that's the thing. I need. Where would he start this season?
So he
does anyone remember?
He started in Carolina. He went Forsberg? From Edmonton to Carolina.
Oh yeah, well,
it's from Edmonton to Carolina on waivers. The initial waiver transaction, and then Carolina.
Yeah, so then I didn't know where. Yeah, well, how the
why to Winnipeg?
Yeah, why do you?
And then
Winnipeg
he went to New Jersey, and then he went to. How do I remember?
No,
all
he
this?
Never went to New Jersey.
I thought he was a part of the New Jersey carousel.
No, Comrie and Aaron Dell were.
If I'm Anton Forsberg, no offense, bro, I might just buy like just white pads or something.
Do the old Hillier things, the Otis Hiller, where he had the Darth Vader mask, and it just didn't matter what team he was on; he looked like Darth Vader.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You get the team stuff, and then you get them to sign it on your way out the door, and you go home and get that stuff framed.
Does he become
like one of those NFL players with all those jerseys on his wall? Except he played for all those teams.
I was just going to say, does he become the new, you know, the new suitcase where, you know, Anton Forsberg played for 16 NHL teams and 7 of them in 1 year, but he didn't actually play?
He's hockey's Kevin Glenn. He's been with every Canadian team now.
Yeah. Nice CFL throw there.
Yeah. All right. I wanted to bring up this thing here. Josh Park put this together. It was up on the Instagram. It was pick one of these former Oilers in their prime.
Forget about Instagram. The real story on that one specifically is Twitter.
Really?
2.6 million impressions and counting.
Holy fuck. Damn. Yeah, that got I saw like Ryan Whitney was chiming in. That thing went like everywhere on the fucking internet. All right. So you pick only one of these former Oilers to join today's team in their prime. Your options are Alish Hemsky, Chris Pronger, Dwayne Rolison, Fernando Pisani, Nail Yakupov, Taylor Hall, Laddie Schmid, Jason Smith, Nikita Nikitin, Ryan Smith, Curtis Joseph, Magnus Bjarve, Jason Strudwick, Ilya Bryzgalov. Bag milk, who are you taking?
I mean, I'm sorry, but the only answer is Pronger. If you don't say Pronger, you probably forgot how good he was when he was here.
Sure.
Chris Pronger would not have kept out either of those fucking those horrible shots against that both goaltenders let in.
Yep. Rick, like
Cujo, baby. The answer is Cujo, Rick.
It's Cujo.
No.
Like,
no.
Chris Pronger's, that's ridiculous. Please take your mic off.
Rolison, in his prime, should have won this team a Stanley Cup on his own. He was winning that team.
You
or can't
say he was on his own.
Stanley Cup
Chris,
was on.
You just killed
Chris
Pronger,
man.
You just killed Beck.
Yeah, I know. Chris Pronger wasn't that great in Edmonton. Just saying it.
Oh my Dan, you are out of your
he wasn't
mind.
As good as he wasn't as good
you
as Dwayne Rolison was for that
mind,
playoff
mind, man.
For sure,
Dwayne Rolison should have won the MVP that year.
No
I still believe it.
No way. Chris
he dragged that carcass of a team across the finish line.
That's not
and
true
Mark
at all.
Andre Bergeron.
That's not true at all.
Him murdered in
that's
a hit
not true at all.
Because he had the well, Stanley Cup.
What did he look like when he first got here? What did he look like when he first got here?
Stronger.
He was nope.
No,
Rolison was garbage until he got to the playoffs. Absolutely,
exactly.
But that's his prime.
Chris
Prime. That's the prime I'm looking for.
Is the only answer.
No, you need Cujo, man. We don't allow a lot of fucking grade A chances anymore. So he's going to eliminate those grade A chances. What we keep letting in are these stupid ass goals from weird ass angles that Cujo wouldn't do. And Chris Pronger is just not keeping that puck out of the net. Like
we
there's
get caught
how many Stanley Cup finals did Cujo
mistake.
Play for in Edmonton?
I don't give a shit. He was a great goalie. I was like 6 months old when Cujo played here, and I know he's the right answer.
Go to YouTube and watch what he did in the fucking 90s. What he did with a blue collar team of all third liners and Doug Waite. Like it was. And first of all, Doug Waite should be on that list. Sorry, Doug Waite should be on that list. He's not on the list, but Dougie needs to be on the list. Nonetheless, the answer is Cujo.
Josh and I were trolling a little bit with the list.
All right.
And
that's what
nobody's even talking about Bryzgalov. Like, come on.
And nobody's talking about Nail Yakupov. If Jesse Pouliot, and to quote Wanya here, if Jesse Pouliot came back and looks this good, than Nail Yakubov, a former first overall, will probably look four times better.
I think all of our heads have different answers, but our hearts, I mean, would you not love to see a prime? Our hearts say
Pronger. Yeah, right.
Our hearts say Alex Hemsky. Wouldn't you love to see that guy playing with Connor McDavid? Or like, yeah. Imagine Hemsky setting up Dreisaitl for one-timers on the second line. Come on.
In all seriousness, though, Bag Milk is correct. It's Chris Pronger playing with like Darnell Nurse
Chris
right
Pronger
now. Like,
is Chris Pronger keeping out the shots from
it's
Montreal?
Cujo, they're man. Not even Cujo's the answer.
No, I think Chris Pronger's not even getting it there. I think Chris Pronger
for
controls
sure
the game.
How many
Chris
goals?
Pronger brings in that element that I was talking about with Patrick Marleau too, right?
How many goals have the Oilers given up because their defensemen made terrible plays?
Not as,
not as many
in this year as in previous.
Oh man.
How many times that puck just get past the goaltender?
Chris Pronger with Evan Bouchard? Come on.
Can you imagine if you had Chris Pronger as your first line left winger or left D, I should say, and he's playing with, I don't know, say
Bouchard.
He's playing half the game. He's playing half the amount of minutes that Kuja's playing.
You put Chris Pronger as your first LD and then Tyson Barry on the right side. That is arguably the best pairing in the league.
Yep.
With Tyson Barry.
Prime. Pronger's prime. Yeah.
Pronger's, yep. Of course. Not 43-year-old Pronger, whatever he is now.
I just said Dwayne Rollison to be a contrarian, by the way.
And then on the second line, you got Darryl and then whoever else at Larson.
I want to get that out there.
Now all of a sudden, you'd got a top four that anybody would want.
Dan is the one who makes the clutch for this podcast.
You shoot from a horrible angle that they're going to allow, because you shoot from a horrible angle, we'll give it to you, and it goes in the net. And they only play 30 minutes. You need a guy who's out there 60.
Niemi's got cup rings. Niemi's got cup rings, and it's all because of the defense.
Cujo.
Yeah, I go with Cujo as well.
I want to know.
Dallas, 97. Cujo. Dallas and Colorado, 98.
So then
that stuff was
really
monumental.
Is bring back Todd Marchand, because the Oilers wouldn't have won that series had it not.
Hey, we need that. We need a third line center, don't we?
If you have an answer for this, please hit us up on social. Yep. If you haven't already answered on the main Oilers feed,
I can't believe we didn't include Matt Barzell either.
Oh man, his hat trick was that last night or two nights ago?
Last night.
Pissed me off.
His goal against the four capitals. He walked four capitals. They all just did a little flyby check of his stick, and he just deked them all.
I went to high school with a kid. I went to high school with a kid who played goalie in the dub for the Oil Kings, and I remember talking to him. I was like, "Who's the best player in the league? Like, who's the best player you play against?" And I think Barzell was like 17 at the time or like 16. And he was like, "It's not even close. It's Matt Barzell." He's like, "This guy's unbelievable." And he like could not say enough about how sick Matt Barzell was. He's like, "He's the best player in the league. Like, I've never seen anyone as good as him." And I always remember that whenever I see him dominate. I'm like, people who were in the dub, like, they knew, man. People knew how sick Matt Barzell was. Why no one else figured it out? Beyond me. Anyways.
There's still that over-looming, that size factor that at that point, a lot of teams were not sold on going to the new way of the NHL yet. And I know a lot of analytics people like to sit here and poke, you know, point the finger and laugh at guys because, you know, they're kind of old school and waited till the last minute to kind of swap over to the new NHL. But that's just the way it is, man. Like, you're running a multi-million-dollar organization. Yeah. It's pretty ballsy to make that big step. But when you're all you're doing is hitting some letters on a keyboard in front of a computer screen, it's real easy to say, "Hey, this is what you should do."
Where did the anti-analytics rant come from there? That just came out of left field.
Well, no, because they're always the ones saying, "Hey, you should have done this. And the NHL was, you know, one third, two thirds, whatever it was, of the way to the new NHL. And to go against the grain like that for a bunch of older guys who've been doing the same thing for years, it's really damn tough.
Before we move on and talk a little bit more about tonight's Battle of Alberta, got to give some love to Cornerstone Insurance Brokers, Edmonton's own. They are the insurance teammate of Oilers Nation. Whether you need a quote, whether it's auto, residential, commercial, life insurance, all of that, Cornerstone Insurance has you covered. If you want more info, go to cornerstoneins.ca. Cornerstoneins.ca. I think Cujo would be the right insurance policy for this Oilers team if they could get him. Anyways, Battle of Alberta tonight. Figured we should. I just want to go around the horn. We're going to get this out early enough so people can listen to it before the game here. It's an 8 o'clock start, 7 o'clock start tonight. But I just want to go around the horn. I'll start with you, Bag Milk. One key to victory tonight for the Edmonton Oilers.
I say this all the time, and I'm going to say it again. It's boring, but it's true. Respect the blue lines. Oilers have been caught so many times with giveaways at either blue line, be it getting out of their own zone or getting it deep into the other zone. And when those pucks get turned around, they've been getting burned for them. It happened against Montreal. It's when the Oilers lose, I guarantee we can probably pick out one or two turnovers at the blue line that were probably avoidable if they made a little bit of a stronger play rather than trying to force something through. Mm-hmm. To me, as always, respect the blue lines. Go ahead.
Rick?
Execute. Execute, execute, execute your passes, your hits, your battles, your dump-ins, everything. Execute properly and you'll be fine.
Dan?
First period. I say it every single time we've asked for keys to the game, but for me, this team always wins games when they have a good effort in the first period. And that doesn't even mean they necessarily have to come out the leader of the period. But if you get a goal in that first period, this team just seems to unlock something and it's ready to go. They are 15-2 when they score first. So to me, it's get going early, get going often, demoralize this Calgary Flames team once again.
I like that, Dan. Bet the Bedford period result.
When the Oilers are on home ice and lead after the first period, they're 8-0 on the season. They've been a very good team this year protecting leads, so I like that key to the game. I'm going to say get the big dogs going. You will beat the Calgary Flames if McDavid and Draisaitl are at their best.
Frank chimes in too.
The key to victory tonight for the Oilers is get the big dogs going, and now I am going to get my buttons ready because it is time. Is Frank still fired
Frank's
up?
Going fucking bananas. He's just like, what's going on? What's going on?
It's the BOA, Frank. Let's get going. Let's get going. Oh, man. All right. I'm going to get my buttons ready here for Hot and Cold Performers, brought to you by Deuce Vodka. If the Oilers win, why not try a Neon Nation bomb? I think I said that right. Created by Brad Stepenko. It is
Brad Stepenko's an animal.
I love that guy. He's an absolute animal.
He is an animal.
But if they win tonight, yeah, I think that could become like a playoff thing as well for us.
I'll tell you one thing though. If you don't know what a Neon Nation bomb is, it's a nation beer with a shot of Deuce Vodka popped in there and you pump her back. Please drink responsibly because Leon scores more than one. You know.
Good night.
He looks
fine even after his third one.
Or you forget to hit record. Shout out Brad.
Rick, is there a chance for the Oilers playoff run? We could get like Neon Nation bombs or something like that at the pint for our parties.
I think there's something we can do.
Yeah, there might be something we can work out. All right, let's get into Hot and Cold Performers brought to you by Deuce Vodka. As Bag Milk says, we will start with the veggies. And I'm coming to you first, Nation Dan. Who's your cold performer of the week?
Well, you mentioned it already, but I'm just going to take the easy one off the board. It is the fact that we've had multiple COVID delays now to our schedule. It's frustrating when you go ahead and you look forward to after a long week of slogging through whatever you have to slog through to have some Oilers games back to back, the Oilers versus the Flames, and then the Oilers versus the Canucks. Well, the Canucks are no more. And we have to start looking forward to Monday against another team that we had a bunch of delayed schedule issues. I hit mute in the middle of my speech, and I'm sorry, but it's the COVID delays in the North Division, my cold performer of the week.
Oh, get cold.
Bag Milk?
Well, I mean, Dan's is the obvious one, right? I was really looking forward to watching the Oilers game tomorrow night, but unfortunately, it is not meant to be. So I'm going to take the second most obvious one off the board. I'm going to say cold performer of the week this week is the entire team just for the effort against Montreal. I know it's a one-off. I believe it's a one-off. Connor said it's himself. He feels it was a one-off. I agree with him, but that game was rough, tough to watch. It happens sometimes, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. That game against the Habs, cold performer of the week.
Y'all speak.
Rick.
Well, I thought this one was kind of obvious too, but pretty much everyone who made a big deal of the Connor hit, like people that came out and said, you know, this needs to be a suspension, this needs to be this, that, and the other thing. Like, you guys, come
call
on.
911.
It's a high paced game. There's emotion. It's, you know, there's body contact. Seriously, that's embarrassing. It's $5,000, sure, whatever. It's a drop in the bucket for him. Doesn't mean a damn thing. But for everyone who's against that, and then really the next night when, and again, this is nothing, when McKinnon just kind of underhand throws the helmet at what's his face there. Yeah. Again, Carter absolutely Gerlich. Fucking nothing. People even like that didn't get the same attention as the Connor issue, but that technically is worse. I mean, it's ridiculous. Everyone's got to grow some thicker skin here. That's what we want out of this sport. Come on now.
Why are you the way that you are? I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
Gregor That's brought perfect. Up a good point too. In every game, there are probably like 2 to 3 shoves from behind that are so much more dangerous than what McKinnon or McDavid did. But for some reason, people just ignore them because like hits from behind happen all the time. Like, what's the big deal? But I agree with you 100%, Rick. My cold performer of the week are going to be the people who just can't seem to wait to jump down the throat of Dave Tippett at every little chance. The Oilers win. Yeah, you don't hear much. Sometimes they win and you'll get a little bit of it. But then the second they lose, it's like, this guy is an idiot. He is stubborn. He needs to play Jones. He needs to play Bouchard. He needs to scratch this guy. Why won't Tippett do this? Why isn't Tippett doing that? And it's like, you know, we have a good coach here in Edmonton, but it just feels like no matter what they do, there is a portion of this fan base that is always like, we are so much smarter than him and they don't want to hear anything else. The second the Oilers lose, they're jumping down the throat and they're ready to just yell at everyone. They want him fired, all this stuff. And it's like, take a deep breath. One loss happens. Good teams get blown out sometimes. That shit happens. The Oilers have been very good this year at bouncing back, not going on long losing streaks. And Dave Tippett's been a hell of a coach. So for the people who don't stop complaining about Dave Tippett, you are my cold performer of the week.
What the hell is going on?
The only thing I would want to say about that is I agree with you on all of that. However, I thought Dave Tippett made some weird choices against Montreal.
Starting the fourth line was dumb. Yeah,
that's not that big of a thing, though. You're confident putting those guys out at any given time.
But like, when everyone like lost their mind, the pace is your fourth line when you got.
You grew up playing that. You grew up playing that hockey.
Yeah, but it's 2021, man.
But it doesn't change. Doesn't take that. It doesn't take that out of hockey.
What challenging a very obvious goal was weird.
Well, that's he has a guy that he has to like rely on. And that guy says yay or nay, and then it's up to him at the end of the day.
As soon as I saw the replay, I'm like, why are they challenging this?
Yeah, because even with the new rule, the foot drag, like when it's above, it felt like he forgot that rule was in there.
So but
that
I whole, feel like
the whole
like
the fourth line thing is silly. Thing
was a little bit weird. Again, you're right, Rick. It's not the biggest deal. It's not like fourth lines never start. That was a little bit weird, but to me, the challenge was very, very odd. And then just things went.
Everything went downhill. That's just the way it was.
What I should add to that is that these same people never give Dave Tippett credit. Like there's never when he does
he deserves plenty.
Like when Caleb Jones comes back into the lineup, you don't see people being like, ah, finally Dave Tippett's doing the right thing. They're like, oh, this fucking idiot's finally coming around to what I'm saying. Or like he picked the perfect time to move Puljujarvi up to the top line. He's been great with Puljujarvi this year. But those people who love to bitch about McClellan not handling Puljujarvi right aren't sitting there applauding Tippett for handling him right now. Like it's just it's a little
his ability to figure out the goalie sauce between, you know, two not great options. Yeah. And he seems to go back to the guy that he knows is going to have a good night. And
this is why I said I stopped trying to guess the goalies like a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
we have no fucking idea. He's got some sort of finger on the pulse, sort of kind of what you do your thing, my man. I'm not even going to fucking bring it up.
100%.
Just sticking on the goalies just before we move to hot performers, even just like, it's hard, right? Like it's exactly like Rick said, he's got a better pulse on the situation. We've all on this one a podcast apologized to Mike Smith for having no belief in him before the season started. So, you know, if you're going to criticize Dave Tippett, like Tyler says, you have to acknowledge all the things that he does right, of which there are plenty.
Going to hot and cold or going to the hot performers now. I am going to start things off here. Because I want to wish our boy Bag Milk a happy birthday. You won't get an Oilers game on your birthday, but happy birthday, big guy. I know you're going to be nice and shit-faced by like 11 a.m. So that'll be good. Maybe I'll shoot you a couple texts and test the waters, see how you're feeling. But have a great birthday, Mr. Bag Milk.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, I was looking forward to writing the GDB tomorrow, and just kind of the boys are covering the site for the weekend for me. So I was just looking forward to getting the day started early and then having some beers throughout the day and watching a game. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen. So I'm going to come out with some kind of lessons I've learned as an Oilers fan on my birthday type of article.
What are you going to air fry?
Everything. Everything.
There's got to be something out there that's got to go in there. Like, it's got to be a birthday treat of some sort.
Buddy, I think tomorrow's the day that the beef and shed goes in there.
Yes. I love it. I want to see ice cream cake.
I think tomorrow's the day that the beef and shed goes in the air fryer. Just a little crispiness on the outside is going to be real nice.
Bag Milk, birthday boy, who's your hot performer of the week?
My hot performer of the week. Oh, man. I don't know. My hot performer of the week is trying to think. Did anything even fun happen this week?
Not really.
Withers wise, no, nothing happened there.
Got beef and cheds on the mind.
Beef and cheds are on the mind, Dan. I could acknowledge.
Your dad gave you $100 during the Real Life podcast.
Oh, you know what? There you go. My hot performer of the week is my dad, because that did happen. So yesterday on the Real Life podcast, we were talking about whatever, and then I just got up and left. And then I came back and my dad gave me $100 bill. And he was at the door and I'm like, why are you here? And he's just like, I wanted to give you $100. I said, okay. And then I was bragging about it on Real Life. I also want to give my dad a shout out for earlier in the week, dropping off more garlic sausage for me. He was at his absolutely meat banana. Boys, I did it. That's how I killed the last one. Was me.
Yeah.
Solidarity.
His partner and their family have a beef farm, right? So they were out doing some slaughtering and some processing. So he brought me all kinds of snacks. So yes, Tyler, thank you for coming up with an answer for me. My dad, hot performer of the week.
Cash money.
Rick.
Put some of that sausage in the air fryer too, by the way.
I did, dude. Nice. It's the best. It's like, it's a game changer. So what I was doing is I meat bananaed, but I'm like, I can't finish this whole ring without air frying some. So I was slicing real thin. Like, I'm talking like pog style thin. And I laid them out in the air fryer and they came out like little crispy meat chips. It was like, oh, I made this little spicy mustard dipping sauce. I'm fucking living my best life out here.
I like that. Well, for mine here, I got to go to something I found on, and it might have been an April Fool's joke. I really don't know. But his name is Bruce Drennan. He is the Cleveland broadcaster for the Indians. He must do like a radio call-in show or something like that. So he had some guy call in and started giving like a horrible take on whatever the hell it was. And Bruce, he stopped him. And he went off on, he called him an idiot. He called him an idiot twice. He absolutely lights this guy up for bringing like absolute sort of just stupid takes.
Can I play it?
Yes, please.
Oh, no, sorry.
Every guy in local radio is just like, yes.
I love it.
That's just what it is. I mean, Tyler, you read out text.
I'm going to buy Tyler.
You let some callers go through. And I yell at my radio. Like, you're driving beside me. You're probably wondering what the fuck's going on. But I'm yelling at these guys like, this is ridiculous.
Okay, I got it here.
Okay, good.
You can just simply pitch around Ramirez, keep walking him, don't give him anything to hit. The next guy, the good pitch is down the middle, he won't swing at, but the ball's down around his ankles. He hits the shortstop into a double play. This has been going on for 2 years.
Right. I guess you missed a lot of the games that Reyes hit in the clutch last year, huh?
No.
Oh, yeah. You're an idiot.
No.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball. You are an idiot. You're going to tell me you are judging. You don't know anything. You don't know squat, you stupid idiot. You're going to tell me you're going to make a judgment on the season after one game in 30-degree weather that proves what an ignoramus you are. Get off our show. Fair weather idiot. All right, please, we're gonna move on here.
Goodness.
So many of you guys must want to do that. I'm so happy that that was done. So many people need to hear that.
I think that man just got a couple clips added to the hot and cold performer button. Yes. Trey here.
Oh, my God.
Stupid ignoramus.
Stupid ignoramus.
I love that. It's, and like, if you have, I know you're listening to a podcast right now, if you're hearing us, but you got to find that clip because he is animated.
Yeah, Tyler held the Tyler held the camera up to his phone so we could see the reaction. It's amazing.
That is incredible.
All right, Dan, your cold performer or hot performer of the week.
Well, it was going to go to Schmitty for that performance against the Toronto Maple Leafs. That was something to behold, and he held the guys in, and they were able to come back. But selfishly, it's going to go to us here at the Nation. The big announcement from Jay that he put his deposit down for the Vegas tickets.
Yeah!
And we are talking travel, boys. I can't believe it. In the early stages of 2021, none of us have gotten our Microsoft antivirus upgrade yet. But when we do, and we will, we are going to be going back for a third time on a hashtag Nation Vacation to Las Vegas. I am already starting the planning. I'm already trying to plot out our locations. I don't even know when the games are going to be played, but we are going back. It is an exciting time.
Can you find out if we can rent an air fryer? Bagmelt didn't want to bring it as a carry-on.
Well, Rick had a great idea, though. Like, Rick had a great idea that it was an emotional support air fryer. So I feel like that could probably work. And because we've got a mission, because Rick's got me on the path to garlic bread. So we need to find some garlic bread for the room after a night out.
There you go. But we're looking at hashtag Nation Vacation once again. I'm super excited about it. I'm super excited to get planning, get plotting, and hopefully we can fill a freaking plane this time.
Please, world. Please let us travel again. Please. I want nothing more than to be spilling into the Taco Bell cantina at 3 a.m. again.
Watch Jay wrap up his leftovers so neat and tidy, put it in his hand, and gingerly walk back to the room at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Here's one thing. If you've never partied with Jay on a vacation, he'll talk about pitch count all day and how you need to watch your pitch count. But that gets forgotten in a real hurry. That gets forgotten.
Oh, please just hang around him at the craps table.
Oh, yeah.
When he's had a couple of beverages, a couple of Bud Lights in the system, him at the craps table is gold. Gold.
Last year, we were at the craps table, Rick, Jay, and I, and Stepankos were there, and there were some other citizens around, and we kept getting in trouble for putting our case of White Claws on the table, even like on the edge of the table. They're like, stop doing that. We're like, sorry. Just end up back there 2 seconds later. It's the best. I love it. So, and then we were like, after the Oilers lost against Vegas, we ended up down on Fremont Street. First of all, great dance party.
Incredible.
Steve was the cover band. We had a great dance party in the street, and then we ended up in a casino back at the craps table. And I just remember the look of the guy's face. Remember, Rick, when you guys put your money down and I just reached into my pocket and pulled like a soggy ball of bills down. And I just kind of put it on the table. I don't know. There. And he's just like counting singles.
It was like $47 or something. The rest of us are walking in with, just number of 20s. You know, here's $200 or $100, whatever. You're like, here's $37.50. Let's go.
All right.
Vegas. I love it. Nation vacations are the best.
Absolutely. Episode 131 of Oilers Nation Radio was also the best. I enjoyed this. That was fun. For Sherwood Ford, the Giant, for Deuce Vodka, Cornerstone Insurance, and of course, Skip the Dishes. For Rick, Dan, and Bagged Milk, I am Tyler Yaremchuk. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy another Battle of Alberta, and we'll talk to you again next Friday.
Shout out Damien.
Best wishes.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media to stay up to date and never miss a podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.